James Senegal once said, "Technology helps us become more efficient and productive, but our business still has a lot of art as opposed to strictly science." Are you tinkering, self-learning, self-improving, experimenting with home labbing? And do you want to become a skilled IT expert? Well, you've found your new home. This is the Home Labbers Podcast. On this show, we'll interview top experts and dig deep to learn how they got started and how they train their IT skills as a master martial artist in a Shaolin temple. And you know what? We're going to have fun along the way. This is the Home Labbers Podcast. And now your host, Vian Du.
All right, let's do this.
Jim, welcome to the podcast. So excited to have you on the podcast.
Happy to be here and talk about labs with you.
Before we dive into the home labbing topic, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. I've been in IT since around 1993, worked on the customer side well before virtualization was in, which is kind of where my background with labbing came in. Ended up being a one-man IT shop back in the day and liked what I could do there well enough that as things progressed technologically, added to what I was doing at home, similar to what I was doing at work. So I went from the customer side to a VAR, where I was doing lots of deployments as a VMware and Microsoft subject matter expert, and ultimately found myself with VMware itself, as many of us refer to it as going to the mothership. So today I operate as a solution engineer, and I cover SLED customers. And SLED is an acronym for state and local and education. So public sector customers in the states of Missouri, Nebraska, and Kansas in the United States. And I live with my wife, two kids, and a dog in Kansas City, Missouri.
How did you get started with home labbing? And where did you get the idea?
Sure. So as I had indicated a little earlier, I was into having office technology at home. It just made things a lot easier. The idea of having a central machine for file storage, for authentication, authorization, all of that was part of what I liked doing at home in addition to what I was doing at work. So I actually started my lab with a desktop machine and I installed NetWare 5 on it, ran 10 base 2 cabling throughout the house and put several machines on that. And the thing that was neat about NetWare 5 is that although it relied on the IPX SPX stack for communication for file services, it did support TCP/IP and had an on-demand dialer in it. Not only did it have that functionality, but it could bond together multiple modems into a single pipe if your ISP supported it, and mine did at the time. So this is back in, I want to say it was around 1998 through 2000, when dial-up was really the only way to get on the internet. I had a central system that dialed two 64K modem links, bonded them together, and gave me the equivalent of a 128K BRI circuit. I expanded that over time and it got to the point where with too many physical machines, it's like, this is ridiculous. I've got to have some better way to do this. And this is around 2005, 2006, when I was first dabbling with ESX in the office. It was the only type one hypervisor at the time. And that's why I chose it. So it was almost by accident that I ended up being a VMware customer, that there was really no other choices except the type one. And I was able to utilize that same technology and consolidate some things at home and get off of the physical machines that were causing me issues with hardware, et cetera. Kind of like what we were doing in business. So what I've done at home in my labs pretty much was based on things that I was doing in the office. I wanted more of same at home.
So, What were the reasons behind this?
Most of it was because I'm a geek and I really like doing the knob turning. So it's one of those rare instances where I like playing with computers as much at home as I did at work.
How did your first home lab look?
Well, as I mentioned, if we go back far enough, it wasn't even VMware. But if we look at the VMware pieces themselves, I had used a recycler organization. They take commercial gear and clean it up and have it available to not-for-profits, and they'll sell to the general public. And so I bought a couple of Dell 2950 rack mountables, and I hung them on the wall. So I want to say it's StarTech has some 1U, 2U, I think they go up to like 6U wall mount racks. And I tipped them up so that they hung vertically and strung them together. And I used, back at the time, it was iOmega sold the little NAS boxes. And I had a PX6 array. So I used iSCSI as shared storage with the NAS box and the two 2950s to be able to run the workload. So that's what the earliest system looked like. It was all strung together with Cat5 and 1 gigabit networking.
What was your first home lab project?
So I think it was trying to teach myself more about using iSCSI, because at the office where we were doing ESX, everything was based on Fibre Channel. And as I was hoping to work on a VCP certification, it required you not only to know how to do data stores and zoning in Fibre Channel ones, but you also had to be able to do iSCSI. And so that was kind of the first project, other than, you know, getting everything set up and being able to P2V the machines that I had. The real lab type project was teaching myself to manage the iSCSI client and ESXi.
How did you fund your home lab?
With money that I found in the couch. It was at that time, it was just, I found money wherever, right? It was, instead of going and getting coffees in the morning, you put it into the home lab fund. Instead of getting dessert when you went out to dinner, you put that money in the home lab fund. Instead of getting drinks when you're out, you put that into the home lab fund. When I transitioned from the customer side to the VAR side, I don't know how many people understand different compensation plans, but I was set up with a utilization model where the closer I got to 100%, the better the payout was at bonus time. And the regular salary was great from a standpoint of regular household costs. And so I had the agreement with my wife that the bonuses, half of it went to the house kitty and the other half went to me dumping right back into the home lab, with the idea that I could expand it and make it more sophisticated and teach myself more and more about the products. And so that's how I was able to grow it from that original pair of a couple of machines into, well, behind me, you can't see it on a podcast, but I've got a half rack and I've got all 10 gig networking. I've got 3 Dell servers that are set up with vSAN all flash. And I have the equivalent right now of what small businesses would love to have. And it was through that 50-50 sharing of my bonuses between, you know, an agreement with my wife, that as I was able to fund its evolution into what it is today.
How your home lab looks right now, and what do you have now there?
Sure. So today the storage is principally provided by vSAN. I have a couple of Synology boxes, one of which it's a desktop model with 8 slots that I've got stuffed full of 1 terabyte SSDs, and I use that as a backup target. It's connected with 10 gig as well. So the limitation in most of my storage IO is based on the speed of the media as opposed to the internetworking links. I'm running vSphere 7 update 3 Charlie, so latest greatest, have access to all of that as a VMware employee from a, you know, licensing standpoint. Let's see. I've also got a couple of big Synology boxes that are rack mounts. I bought those off of eBay and stuffed them full of 8 terabyte drives. And that's kind of my media empire, if you want to think of it that way. Let's see, what else have I got going in here? Oh, I've got gigabit fiber, thanks to Google, who came to Kansas City quite some time ago. And so I've got symmetric 1 gig up and down for my internet connectivity. And the router that I have runs pfSense, and it has a nice shim for WireGuard. So even if I'm not at home, I have essentially high-speed access to all of my stuff here at the house. Outside of vSphere, I use Beam for backup. There's no replication target, but it's saved my bacon many a time, especially when you're home labbing, right? It's pretty easy to break when you start playing with things, and having a really good backup and restore capability is real nice to have. And being a, I guess I'm a 14-year vExpert, which is how I ended up getting the licensing for Veeam, because they're really good to the vExpert community. I run a full Microsoft stack and have access to Microsoft 360. The licensing that I have there is partner licensing. And so I actually maintain a partner presence with Microsoft. I have 2 clients in Kansas City that I provide some support to. They're not-for-profits, and so VMware doesn't consider that to be moonlighting or violating any of my agreements with them as an employee. Just little stuff outside of the VMware realm that keeps me valid as a Microsoft partner. So that's how I get all of my licensing, is either as a employee, as a vExpert, or as a partner.
How much knowledge have you gained while having a home lab?
So the home lab itself, when you're learning the software, specifically VMware, it's nice to have, but it also provides a fantastic platform for building virtual environments inside for teaching yourself other software. So in addition to a boatload of VMware certifications, all the way from core data center virtualization through end user compute, networks virtualization, et cetera, all the main silos of VMware. I'm also a Microsoft certified VMCE, and all going back in time, back to 2008 for that. I've been certified with Veeam, Citrix. All of those came because I was able to use my home lab as the basis for building out readily sustainable virtual environments that I could snapshot, dink with, break, revert snapshots, or just plain throw away and redeploy using PowerShell or other scripting to be able to quickly rebuild things while I step up, go away, and let it build itself. So it's really nice to have that functionality. And as large as the environment is, it means I can do several things at once, where people that would try and do something like Autolab from the V Brown Bag guys on maybe a single desktop machine using workstation would run out of resources too quickly. It also means that I don't have to worry about nested virtualization, because I have enough resources that I can really just play right almost on the bare metal at that point. So it makes self-education far easier when you've got that much of a playground to play in.
What is the most memorable home lab story you like to share?
Let's see. Aside from the fact that when I've done customer demos using my gear and the customers have commented on how my environment is bigger, better, badder, however you want to think of it, than what they have, the fun one in the negative way is how I had an old RAID 5 setup. And one of the drives pooched. So I'm running in degraded mode, and I was able to replace the physical drive. And as it was rebuilding, one of the other drives in the array died. So I lost the entire array. And I went to restore, and I found that my restores weren't very good. I was not using Veeam at the time. This was not a virtualized environment even. So I essentially had to scrap the entire thing and rebuild from scratch, starting with brand new Active Directory, the whole thing because I didn't test my backups and I relied on the reliability, of RAID 5. Let's just say I've never made that mistake a second time.
Now you're backupping and have tested.
Yep. And I put my backups in various locations as well. So it's not just the one backup repository. I also have a pretty large footprint in Google Drive, and I've utilized S3 buckets and things like that. That it's very much 3-2-1 plus, if you're familiar with that backup and restore model. And this week, I did restores of a mail server that I was playing with, trying to get certificates updated, and I kept breaking it. So being able to restore from Veeam and having instant recovery available, I know that thing works because I tested it in live fire this week, if nothing else.
Do you have more funny or scary stories?
Not really. I just had it for a long time. And again, I treat it like it's business critical. So about the only thing that I don't have redundancy on is the internet. I've only got the one connection. So when Google goes down, I don't have anything to back it up. And thankfully, knock on wood, it's only been down for a significant amount of time, 3 times in 5 years. So that's a pretty darn good run rate. I am looking at adding a USB-based hotspot to take advantage of LTE or 5G, because I've got that available in my area as a backup connectivity type. I don't have a generator for long-term outages, but I do have, business class UPS is at the bottom of the rack. So I can power the whole darn thing, switches through internet for about 40 minutes. And most of the power outages that I've experienced recently have been below that. So yeah, I have to deal with the UPS that's beeping their heads off because the mains are unavailable, but everything's still up and running. And if it comes back on in that, 20 to 25 minute range, I don't have to worry about anything having been shut down. So it is really nice to have. Sometimes it's a little annoying from some of the noise that the fans make and some of the heat that it generates, but it's a trade-off and I've learned to live with it.
But you also think about you when they see your home lab.
They're either envious or they think I'm crazy. I've seen other people's home labs and they make mine seem like kids play, which is pretty impressive in those rights. But again, I treat this kind of like a small business. And so it's just the right size for me.
What one piece of advice would you give for beginner home labbers?
Start small, but have a plan for where you're going, right? As I was building mine out, I always had a vision of where I wanted to go. And it was very similar to what I have set up now, but I didn't have the rack. I didn't have the UPSs. I was using desktop UPSs. I was using low-end switches. So some of those things I knew that I would have to buy and then end up discarding as I advanced on. So I guess that would be a secondary part of it, of the start small and work your way towards what your final vision is know that you may end up discarding something that you have now for what you'll have later. And don't be afraid on the discard side to find somebody to donate it to that's also new to home labbing, or hit the eBay market for reselling, whatever happens to be easiest for you. So the second piece of advice would be, don't worry about buying new. Use eBay, use whatever the local to you resale market is. Look for community resellers like what I used on my original 2950 purchases. They don't have any kind of an online presence, but they're just taking recycle gear from businesses and turning around and reselling it at a very deep discount. Whether they're able to prove more than power on or not is different from what you might get buying from a reseller like eBay, but it's certainly a way of getting in for a low cost. And keep in mind that when you're labbing, it's about teaching yourself. And so you don't necessarily need to have all the latest, greatest HCL supported whatever, as long as it's compatible, i.e. it runs, then it's good enough to teach yourself. And in some cases, if it breaks, you've got a learning experience right there on how to fix those, like getting firmware and drivers updated. So it's not necessarily save all your pennies and buy the new shininess. It's save your pennies and buy what works.
Jim, thank you so much for joining and have a wonderful day.
You're welcome. Nice talking with you.
You've been listening to the Home Labbers Podcast. Our passion is to interview the leading IT experts and get tech enthusiasts all the information they need to become an expert. So if you run at-home enterprise hardware and software, and you like tinkering and self-learning, then you've found your new podcast. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show. Make sure to like, rate, and review. And we'll be back soon. But in the meantime, hit up the website at viondoo.tech, on Twitter at #viondootrending, and #homelab. See you next time on the Home Labbers Podcast.